Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to Colossians chapter 3. We began looking at the book of Colossians 2 weeks ago, and we're continuing on where we left off. We're going to pick up at verse 5, and we're going to read through verse 8. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I would have you to know that I have had a lot of instruction on all of this that you're going to be receiving from John Calvin, from Vincent's Word Studies, Young's Concordance, William Hendrickson, Gary Demarest, and Matthew Henry, all of which have played an important part in what you're going to hear today. So, by way of review, how we started out a couple of weeks ago, the city of Colossae was situated about 80 miles to the southeast of Ephesus. There were three cities there: Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. And of all of these cities, Colossae was the least of all. It was a very small city, and it was diminishing even at that. And in that city was this small, in this small city was this small church. It wasn't a church that Paul had established, but he is writing this letter to the Colossians. He had been visited by Epaphras, his dear friend who was the minister here. And there was in this seemingly insignificant church, they were having a lot of problems. False teachers were beginning to rise up in the church, and they were trying to take the people back into paganism. So Paul writes this letter. And I would just draw your attention back to what our main point was the last time that we looked at this, and that is that what may seem small in the eyes of man is frequently great and important in the eyes of God. That also could be said of us here as well. So by way of introduction, that pretty much brings us up to speed of what is taking place in Colossae. So now, this morning, our message is still going to be dealing with this church, where these false teachers are beginning to gain a foothold in the church. And so now, today, we're going to look at Paul's gentle and loving and yet very direct instruction. And that instruction is about making decisions concerning their behavior. And that concerns us as well, because we have to make decisions every day about our behavior. So this instruction is not only being given to this church, these Colossians, This church, this instruction is being given to the PECA as well. And for that matter, all mankind. The simple fact of the matter is that this is at the heart of Christian discipleship. It always involves us making choices that require very clear and very distinct yeses and very clear and very distinct noes in our life. Paul has five characteristics of the Christian lifestyle that are described in a set of negatives. Verse 5, we see mortify or put to death. In verse 8, we see put off or put away. And this putting off or putting away literally means to unclothe oneself. Now, for those of you that were at camp a few years ago, I gave a similar illustration where I had various layers of clothing, and I had written on that clothing certain things that were to be taken off, gotten rid of. And that's what Paul is instructing us here about. There are certain things that need to be taken off. We need to be unclothed off. Now, in our earlier messages, we examined verse 5 briefly, which dealt primarily with those things of a sexual nature, sexual sins. But this morning, our focus is going to be on verse 8, which deals with our behavior. Our behavior and our attitudes. And we need to understand, while we look at this, that God's love is unconditional. But that the rejection of His love through disobedience, whether it is our behavior or our attitudes, is always something in Scripture that has very serious consequences. So what do I want you to leave with this morning? In other words, if you were to ask me, Ron, what is your point here? And the point is this. Looking back again at verse 1 of chapter 3. If you have been risen with Christ, off with the old. And the emphasis there is this, if you have been risen with Christ, off with the old. Number 1, in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Now verse 7, the previous verse, is very interesting, in which where Paul says, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Now, living and walking are very, very similar, but not in this context. This is a very important point. And that is because living comes first. Living comes before walking. You are not going to walk apart from living. It is much like a similar verse that we read in Galatians chapter 5, 25. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, one of the things that has been such a blessing to me in preparing for all of this is that while Paul is directing us to our behavior, all of it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. If verse 1 of this chapter, if you have been risen with Christ, seek those things, set your affections, and so on and so on. It all hinges on that if you have been risen with Christ. And when that is the case, then these are the things that you are to do that affect your behavior and your attitude. So we are to put off or to put away this anger. We must be living before we can be walking. These Colossians are no longer to be consumed with the vices of their former days. According to verse 5:3, Paul reminds them that ye are dead and your life is now what? Your life is now hid with Christ. You're dead to those old things. It is now about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is pointing them and pointing them and pointing them. Don't get your eye off of the ball here, so to speak. Keep your eye on the Lord. There might even be a nevertheless inserted there. That this does not mean that you are not going to have battles. That you're not going to have these spiritual battles that have to be fought. Because the flesh is always lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That's just how it is. And so it is this very day, and it'll be that way tomorrow. But the command is very much to the point. Put this off. Number one, anger. So we're to unclothe ourselves of anger. We're to take that garment off and put it away. Number two, put off wrath. This is in the heart, there being a roaring fire that is going on, this wrath. And oftentimes, a person who is guilty of this sort of sin will just say, well, that's just the sort of person that I am. I'm a wrathful type individual. And what is the answer to that? Not if you are risen with Christ. You may have been that sort of a person, but not if you've been risen with Christ. Put it off. Put that off. It is expressing yourself with a fierceness, an indignation, and those things are never going to be constructive, not to the person that's on the receiving end or to you on the giving end. The way we express or control our anger is something that is to be learned. Have you ever seen a child throw a temper tantrum? If that is uncared for, you can only expect worse as that child grows older. Especially into adulthood. If you have been risen with Christ, He can liberate you of that sin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And apart from Him, you can do nothing. So if the unbeliever reads this, and Oh, I see here it says that I'm to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication out of my mouth. I'll get to work on that. It's ridiculous. He'll never have that power. He'll never have that power because he doesn't have what is mentioned in verse 1, and that is, if ye have been risen with Christ. That's where our focus has to be. Number 3, put off malice. Not merely some sort of mischief, but an evil inclination of our mind. It is a wickedness. Peter puts it slightly different in 1 Peter 2:1. He says, laying aside all malice and all guile. In other words, Peter's giving the same instruction. He says, lay that aside. Get rid of that. It's on you. Take it off. Get rid of it. Put it aside. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, Peter calls it a cloak. A cloak of maliciousness. In other words, same thing. That's a garment that you need to be unclothed of. That cloak of maliciousness. Number 4, put off blasphemy. In the Greek, this is meant to be abusive language with respect to God or against man. And in this present instance that we're looking at now, here in Colossians chapter 3, it is meant to be a scornful language directed against our neighbor because it has to do with our behavior and our attitudes. It is evil speaking, and it involves our tongue. And Psalm 141 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. In James chapter 3, we read a lot about the bridling of the tongue. That we would not have this sort of language about us. That tongue that can just produce a forest fire that cannot be put out. We're told in Matthew 15:19 that all blasphemies proceed from the heart. It is a sin of the tongue that proceeds from the heart. This sort of blasphemy is to speak in a way of doing some sort of injury to someone else. That's the fourth garment. Take it off and get rid of it. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you have something on your garments and you just have to get them off right now? You know that they're not doing you any good whatsoever and they just have to be put off from you. That's the picture here. Number 5, put off filthy communication. That's shameful language out of our mouth or abusive speech. This is not merely filthy talking, but a foul-mouthed abuse. Again, both number 4 and number 5, blasphemy and this filthy communication, they both deal with the sin of the tongue. So the discipline of the tongue is most certainly one of the most difficult things that any of us have to deal with, even as a Christian. And yet, there is nothing more crucial in Christian relationships. Here's a list of 5 things that might be helpful in guarding your speech in regard to this. Before you speak, is it pure? Is it true? Is what you're going to say necessary? Is it kind? Is it helpful? We're starting to get thin down here. We've taken these five very heavy, dirty, and filthy garments off of us. Is this something? As Epaphras is coming from Colossae, and he's coming to visit with Paul in Rome in prison, and telling him about the problems that are going on in this very small church, is this something that Paul has never had to deal with before? Most certainly not. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, he tells the Romans to cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of them. Cast them off. Ephesians 4, 20 through 32. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. Here he's writing the Ephesians. 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ. So here again, he is directing your attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that's your behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is the key, the last statement. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because of that is why you are to do all of this. And you're only going to be able to do it because of that. Because Christ has forgiven you. So as Paul is now writing to the Ephesians, he's telling them the same message. Ye have not so learned Christ. But if you have, these are not the things that you're going to learn from Christ. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Paul's saying, off with the old. That's the old thing. Off with the old. The writer to the Hebrews. In Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset it. It's a sin. It's a weight. And it easily besets us. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Philippians chapter 4. Turn there, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This, again, Paul is pointing here, and he is telling the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do all things by myself, but through Christ, yes, I can. I can also put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and evil communications out of my mouth. That affects my behavior, and it affects my attitude, and I can do that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said earlier about living comes before walking? You must be living before you're walking. And you must be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ before you can do any walking. You can't do any of this apart from being alive. So what we need to come to grips with is, I'm alive. I'm alive in the Lord Jesus. I can do this. Who says I can't do this? The Lord says I can do it. Someone else is telling me I can't. Who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. What is our point here? If you have been risen with Christ, off with the old. The emphasis is not on the off with the old. It is on being risen with Christ, because then you can have that message, off with the old. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you enable your people. You literally enable them. And apart from living with you, we have no power. We have no strength. We pray, Lord, that you would work mightily in our minds and hearts to whatever our need is. We pray, Lord, that you would help us if we have been risen with Christ, off with the old. For Jesus' sake, amen.